Open my lips, Lord, to speak your words, and open our hearts to receive them. Amen. Please do sit down. How do you have faith to travel on an aeroplane? 30,000 feet in the air, all dependent upon two or four great engines which might go wrong at any moment. Of course, some people don't have that faith that it'll be all right. I believe there are clinics for this sort of phobia. Well, here's a better example. How do you know it's safe to jump out of an aircraft and rely on a parachute? Well, many of us may not think that it's safe at all, but we don't call that a phobia. I can remember thinking that myself as we taxied along the runway at an airport in California 30 years ago, knowing that I wasn't going to come down in that plane. So how do you go about thinking that jumping out of a plane is a sensible, a rational thing to do? How can you have faith that you're not going to die when you do it? Well, the first time, you take a view based upon reasoning. Firstly, you have it explained to you. Someone says something to you about the physics, how the parachute works, the practical points of what you have to do to stop yourself getting tangled in the parachute as you fall from 12,500 feet at terminal velocity. The theory, if you like. And secondly, you form an impression of the people who've done it before and the people who are teaching you and whether you think they're reliable or just plain nuts. So you rely upon the explanation that you're given and the experience of others. Then you take a step of faith, quite a small one, depending upon those two things, and it all turns out to be fine. And once you've done it once, you know that it's going to be fine. And you don't have to rely on anyone else's experience anymore. And it's like that with faith in God. Because faith in God is trust in God. Most Christians are able to rely upon God because they know that he's been faithful to them in the past. That they've placed their worries and fears on his shoulders, things that seem like impossible obstacles, and they've been right to do so. Because even if things have not worked out as we wanted them to, and we see the wisdom in things happening the way that they did, that perhaps we've grown despite the pain. But you have to trust him once before you discover that, before your faith can grow. To trust him even if everything is going badly wrong, that he is with you and he's in it all. But what about trusting him when the outcome isn't just dangerous, but highly improbable? We may all remember what Alice in Wonderland said to the Red Queen. Alice laughed. "There's no use crying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day." Does trusting God to solve some terrible problem ever seem like believing in impossible things? So it is with the mustard seed, which Jesus uses as an illustration. The seed is so tiny that we cannot expect really anything from it. And yet with what God provides, the rain and the sunshine, it grows into this huge tree. So it is with faith. When faith is tremulous and trivial as a little mustard seed, can grow a faith in a God who can do impossible things in very unlikely circumstances. A faith in a God who can even pull up a tree with difficult roots, like the mulberry, and plant it in the sea. The sort of idea that the Red Queen might come up with. The key to remember is that it is a tiny faith in a great God. And that's what we're talking about. What can happen is not what we perceive to be possible or likely, but what God can do, which constantly astonishes even his most ardent believers. So recognize that even if you only have a tiny little speck of faith, a tiny little speck of trust, that you have it in the Creator of the universe. And with it, as you trust in him, he can do astonishing things. Amen.